Welcome to the Lion's Tribe. I am Pastor Jimmy Odukoya. I pray this episode blesses you and it reminds you to become the lion that God has called you to be. Be blessed.
We've started with conception, then we went to growth. Now we are going to talk about delivery. Amen. We are still in the birthing process. It's the third trimester, and it is the delivery phase. You know, delivery phase is an exciting time. Well, I mean, depending on who you ask. You know, for the fathers, finally going to get to see the baby, right? Because, you know, the funny thing with conception and, you know, the birthing processes, once the woman knows she's pregnant, she becomes a mother. Until the man holds the baby, he doesn't become a father. Can I get a witness? And so what you find during this process is this tension, because the woman is already functioning as a mother and the man is still functioning as a husband and not a father. So what you will find, they'll say, you're not, you know, they'll be frustrated. But you are doing all you know to do, but they're telling you it's not enough because you are running on two different spectrums. Can I get a witness in the house? So depending on who you ask, delivery is an exciting time. That is like, finally, the Lord has done it, finally. Finally, finally. But the woman, it's a bit of a mixed feeling, because as much as she wants to see the baby, she knows she's about to go through a process that will change her for the rest of her life. And as much as you, as the husband, is there to support, you're not going to be the one to do the pushing. Telling you, man, delivery will change your life forever. For the one pushing and the one that's witnessing the pushing, you never remain the same again. But when it comes to delivery, there are three components that all have to work together for delivery to happen. We have three different parts happening simultaneously. You have the baby coming, that's one. You have the one who is pushing the baby, that's two. And you have the one that is there to assist in the delivery process, that's three. So you have the baby, you have the mom, and we'll call it, for lack of a better term, the midwife. Are you with me? We have the baby, that which will be delivered. We have the mom, that which will be the deliverer. And then you have the midwife, that who's there to collaborate in the delivery. Are you with me? So we're going to touch on these three different parts. The baby represents the promise. The birth and the one who will push out is the process to the promise. And the one who will be there to collaborate when delivery is happening. Now, when you go into the third trimester, what would happen biologically is that as the baby continues to grow, it gets heavy and heavier and heavier. And at the third trimester, when it's about that time, the baby shifts, right? The baby goes down into the uterus. It's called through a process of lightening, and positions itself in the uterus. Now, it's fantastic for the baby, but it's a lot of pressure for the mother. Somebody say pressure. And in those times, what you will find, can we just celebrate all the mothers in the house? Because as I'm talking about it, I'm like, a whole human being inside me, it's not possible. The wisdom of God, how the human body, it adapts to birth a whole other human being, and it sustains and can sustain the process all through the 9 months and even after, the wisdom and the intentionality of God. So the baby shifts down to the uterus through a process called lightening and begins to put pressure. And for the mother, what happens is pressure on the bladder. And all of a sudden, she always has to pee because there's a lot of Those who have been mothers, they're just having flashbacks. They're just like, oh Lord, oh Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me as he was talking to me about pressure. He says, an indication that you have entered delivery is when you begin to feel the pressure. All of a sudden, pressure on every side. But he took it a step further. And he began to say to me that this pressure we're talking about goes beyond pressure at work, pressure in the home. Because, trust me, living in Nigeria, pressure is a constant. Can I get a witness? So I'm not talking about everyday pressure. I'm talking about pressure in the form of temptation. Somebody say temptation. And this is where the devil comes and starts to play his tricks because he knows delivery is on his way. So he begins to find ways. How can I circumvent this process? How can I abort this promise? What can I do to derail the children of God, to take them off course? Because right now I can see that the promise is on its way. So he comes through temptation. And here's the interesting thing about temptation. You see, temptation, there are two types. I'm going to talk about two types. There's the internal temptation and the external temptation. Now, internal temptation, we're going to deal with it right now. I'm going to read the scripture. Comes from within. There's temptation that you have to fight on the inside. There's temptation that comes to find you on the outside. Internal temptation isn't temptation unless you want it. Temptation is not temptation unless you want it. So therefore, case in point, how many people like amala? Come on, two hands up. You love amala? How many people do not like amala? My tribe, what's up? Now, here's the thing. If you are eating amala next to me, no matter how you whether it's begiri and amala, it's all fantastic. No matter how you do it, it does not move me. You know why? I don't like amala. No matter how you cook it, no matter how you plate it, no matter if you call it African black meal, whatever you want to call it. What is amala made from? Yam. Nigerian black yam garnished with all of that does not move me. You know why? I do not like amala. So you cannot tempt me with amala. But if it's something that I like, haven't you noticed that when we are tempted with things that we don't like, our voice is very loud to dismiss it? Come on, get away. Well, come on, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come on, get out. How dare you? Get thee behind me. But it is something that you like, I beg. Please help me. Oh, everybody's getting quiet. Your attitude becomes different because there's an internal struggle because it is temptation. And then the devil starts to, because the devil is slick. The devil knows how to fight you. He will not fight you with the things that will not tempt you. He will fight you with things that will. So he begins to play tricks because he's trying to see, how can I get you yourself to circumvent the promise? Temptation. Look at James 1, 12 to 17. Put it on the screen. Blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God, is the man who is steadfast on the trial and perseveres when what? For when he passed the test and has been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by You see, this internal temptation, listen to what it says. For temptation does not originate from God, but from where? Our own flaws. For God cannot be tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, passion. Then when the illicit desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? And when sin has run its course, it gives birth to death. Do not be misled, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator, the sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning. For he is what? And he never changes. When we are faced with these temptations, it comes to reveal the struggles of our internal environment. It shows us the state of our heart. And a lot of times, the devil will bring opportunities to you and he will mask it as God's blessings. You have been working diligent at work, coming on time. Excellent, studious, punctual. And your boss notices you for your work, then for other things. Come. Come to my office, come. You know, I've noticed your work. You're doing very well, very well, very, very well. And I just said that a shiny light like you needs more attention. You know, I feel like I need to spend more time with you to position you for maximum growth. So, here's what we're going to do. Just from time to time, if you need anything, come. Let's drop all this formality, Mr. Call me Jide. If you're Jide, it's just a name that came. Or Jesus, like, Pastor, how far? Okay, call me Femi. Why is it all Yoruba men? Call me Chooks. Everybody collect. You know, just leave all these formalities. Let's be, you know. Let me help you. You know what? Every 2 weeks, let's go for lunch. Then it becomes every 1 week. And then it comes, you know, listen, I'm going for a trip. And I feel like, and you know, because the alarm bells start to ring. You know. The Lord has done it finally. Finally. Hey. Every good and perfect thing comes from God. If it has to do with anything that causes you to compromise, it cannot be from God. You cannot put makeup on a pig and call it a lady. Because you know something is foul. He says, listen, you are grown. Let's not play games. You're an adult, I'm an adult. If you scratch my back, I scratch your back. You know. One time, a married man said to a friend of mine, see, leave all these young boys. They are still trying to figure out their lives. Don't put pressure on the young man. He's trying to build his life. Come, let me take care of you. While he's figuring his life out, you deserve to be treated. Well, fine girl like you, why are you jumping boss? Let me change your life. The Lord has done it finally. If it's a struggle, it is showing that there is a place inside of you And then you hear the devil say, after all, this is not the promotion you have been praying for. After all, pastor says it's a month of new beginning. Let me enter my new beginning. Because now the devil is trying to find ways to get you to abort the promise, because God does not need your help. Conception did not start by you. He's the one that gave you the word. He's the one that has taken you through the process. He's the one that will bring it in due time. Somebody say temptation. Let's look at a quick case study. Joseph, Genesis 39, 6 to 10. We know the story. Remember, I said there's internal temptation and there's what? External temptation. What if this is not even a thing you were looking for? It came to find you. Joseph, Genesis 39, 6 to 10. So Potiphar left all that he owned in Joseph's charge and with Joseph, and he did not need to pay attention to anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome. The guy was not wawa. For the Bible to record he was handsome, the boy was good looking. While the Bible wastes space to describe his attributes, that means the man was a looker. Handsome. They even gave him and. Joseph was not your mate. In form and what? Appearance. Then after a time, his master's wife looked at Joseph with desire, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, with me in this house, my master does not concern himself with anything. He has put everything that he owns in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do this great evil and sin against God and your husband? And so it was that she spoke to Joseph persistently, day after day, but he did not listen to her plea to lie beside her or to be with her. The devil knew what the final outcome of Joseph's life was going to be. He was going to be a prime minister. He was going to be the vehicle through which God would deliver Israel. So the devil is trying to find a way. How do I circumvent his future? And he will come with instant gratification. So you abort the promise. Because what would have happened if Joseph slept with Potiphar's wife? He would have never gone to the palace. He would have stayed a slave in Potiphar's house. And what was instant gratification would have been the vehicle through which the devil aborted delivery. But there was pressure, because she spoke to him day after day. What about David? 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 24. Stay with me. 1 to 12. David has been running like a criminal, being chased, has the oil on his head, running for his life. He is king, but he's being chased like a common thief. Now, what happens? I'm going to read very quickly. Saul returned from following the Philistines. He was told, behold, David is in the wilderness of En Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to search for David and his men in front of the rocks of the wild goats. On the way, he came to sheepfolds where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself. Saul went in to poop. Because no matter how kingly you are, you must still poop. No matter how fine you look, your poop smells. In fact, it's the finest ones that have the worst smell. You know, be asking yourself, how can something so foul come out from somebody so beautiful? It's not me. It's not me.
He went to relieve
himself. Can you imagine how vulnerable and exposed he was? You are not more exposed than when you are relieving yourself.
Vulnerable and exposed. He goes to relieve himself, and then what happens? Now, David and his men were sitting in the cave in the innermost recesses, and David's men said to him, what did they say to him? Behold, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will hand over your enemy to you, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you. Then David arose in the darkness and stealthily cut off the hem, the edge of Saul's robe. Afterward, David's conscience bothered him. Why? Because he had cut off the hem of Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to put my hand against him, since he is the anointed of the Lord. So David strongly rebuked his men with these words and did not let them rise up against Saul. Saul got up and left on his way. And David got up afterward and said, my Lord, my King. And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed his face to the ground and lay himself and said, David to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men that says David seeks to harm you? Behold, your eyes have seen today how the Lord had given you into my hand in the cave. Some told me to kill you, but what? I spared you. I said, I will not reach out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Now understand, he had the oil on his head. He was the legitimate king. Saul is pursuing him, and yet he has Saul, his back, his butt exposed, and he's at the back. He has a spear. All he has to do, if he wants to be wicked, stick it in his butthole. Trust me, if you were David, you probably would have done it too, because what you think is revenge. And his men, his company around him were like, yo, the Lord has done it. This is the day we will stop being chased like vagabonds. With one strike, we can kill him and we become king. We become the mighty men of Israel. Just kill him. Just kill him. And the Lord said to me, you have to be careful about who you have around in the delivery stage. Because they were saying what they felt was right, based on their own knowledge and understanding, asking him to kill Saul. What would have happened if he killed Saul and truncated the process? Because God knows in due time when the promise will come. What would have happened? He said to me, be careful who you have around you in the delivery process. Be careful of the company that you keep, because your company matters. Be careful who you allow to speak into you in your delivery process. And I'm going to say something that's going to deliver a lot of people right now. Don't forget this. Just because they were part of your history does not mean they are part of your promise. Oh, that's a tough one. Just a lot of us are trying to drag people into our promise because they were part of our history. Just because they were part of the history does not mean that they are part of the promise. After all, a lot of Israelites left Egypt. They had the history of slavery, but not everyone who left Egypt that had history entered into the promise. You got to be careful. Jesus knew all too much about the importance of company. Because you will notice that every time he was about to birth something, he had his three. Mark 5, 37. He goes into Jairus' daughter's room. What happens? Mark 5:37. He says, and he allowed no one to go with him except who? Except who? Peter and James and John. Everybody out. I'm about to birth something. When he would go in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, look at it. Mark 14:33. Put it on the screen. Mark 14:33. He took who? You have to be careful who you allow around you in your delivery process. In Matthew 4, even Jesus would have to go through his own temptation. Now, remember, James speaks about God tempts no one, right? Matthew 4 speaks about after he was baptized, that he was led into the wilderness to be what? Led by the Spirit to be tempted. And I say, hold on. But God tempts no one. But wasn't God setting him up? No. You must understand that the Hebrew word for that temptation was a test. It was a test because Jesus had to pass the test. Because before he knew, before I could give, glorify his name, he must show that he is worthy. And you must understand when he would go and be tempted and the devil would come, he tempts him with three things: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and what? Pride of life. He says to him, listen, if after all you are the Lord, turn stone into bread. Lust of the flesh. Pride of life. He says, after all, if you are who you say you are, throw yourself off the mountaintop. After all, you're Jesus, the angels, they'll pair you up. Pride of life. Having to prove. Remember we talked about humility last Sunday. He had nothing to prove, especially not to the devil. He says, listen, if you bow to me, I will give you the kingdoms of this world. Understand what the devil was offering Jesus. Listen, the cross is not necessary. If you bow to me now, you will get the glory of the kingdom of this world without having to pay the cost. Because he knew what waited. And what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Talk back to me. Sorry? He resisted the devil. So even Jesus went through his own temptation. Somebody say pressure. The baby shifts. Pressure. Now, once the baby is ready to come out, it goes from pressure to pain. All the mothers are having flashbacks. Because how you know that the baby is coming is when you start having contractions. And anyone who has had contractions, ladies, make some noise. It is not something you wish or your worst enemy. But how you know the baby is close? The stronger the contractions, the closer the baby. How do you know you are on the verge of delivery? The stronger the pain, the closer the promise. David, running like a criminal. His wife had been taken away from him, given to another man. Being chased and hounded, had to go and live in the land of the Philistines. And yet he had the oil on his head. Talk about pain. Joseph, being sold like a commodity from his father's house. Then you are now doing well. Then you are now accused of something that you did not do. And the reward for choosing not to sleep with her is being thrown in prison. Talk about pain. Jesus, after the temptation, would have to go into the garden. Praise a prayer. He says, Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Because the highest level of pain was awaiting for him, the cross. Sir, you don't understand. I feel like I am fighting the toughest battles I've ever fought in my life. Congratulations. That means the promise is on the way. Because a lot of us want the promise without the pain. But guess what? The pain qualifies you for the promise. Oh, it's getting quiet now. James 1, 2 to 4 says this. James 1, 2 to 4, it says this. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into what? Various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and what? Inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your what? Lacking in nothing. Your pain qualifies you for your promise. 2 Corinthians 12 to 9. Put it on the screen. 2 Corinthians 12 to 9. But he said to me, what did he say? My grace is sufficient for you. If you are in the process of pain, I come to tell you today that his grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough. Always available, regardless of the situation. You've experienced loss. My grace is sufficient for you. Regardless of the situation. You've experienced betrayal. My grace is sufficient for you. Regardless, God has checked the sum total of that situation and he has arrived at the conclusion that his grace is sufficient. That means whatever you will go through, it will not outweigh his grace. He has made provision that is adequate to the amount of pain that you must go through. It might press you on every side, but it will not break you. Because his grace is sufficient, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in what? Your weakness. When that situation should have taken you out, but yet you are standing, that is when his power is being made manifest. It does not make sense because anybody else should have quit and gone away, but somehow you are still standing. That's because his power is being made manifest. They don't understand how you have not lost your mind, how you have not lost your joy, how you have not lost your peace, because his power is being made what? Manifest. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may what? Dwell in me. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Because once you are in that process and contractions begin, there's no going back. We've come too far. We are too close. We must birth this promise. Romans 8:28 says this. And we know with what? Great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, God, who is deeply intentional about us, God, who has made you the apple of his eye, God, who watches you and does not sleep or slumber, deeply intentional about you, what does he do? He causes some things, the good things, the good times, the victories, all things, that setback, that failure, that loss, that betrayal, that heartbreak, all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God and to those who are called what? According to his plan and his purpose. He makes all things work together. He makes all things work together. You've come too far. You're in the throes of it all. What the devil hopes is that you will quit in the contraction process. But you cannot quit now. You must push through the pain. Romans 12:12 says this. Constantly rejoicing in hope. Because our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress. Devoted to what? Devoted to what? Devoted to what? Continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength. What is the one word they say to you in the delivery room when you are contracting? Shout it back to me. What do they say? They tell you to push. Look at the neighbor. Tell your neighbor, push. Look at somebody else saying, push. Push. Pray until something happens. You have come this far. We are now in the delivery room. We have no choice but to push. We've been through too much. We've come this far. God has given us a word. We will push. We will pray until something happens. We will stay on our knees. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God through pulling down our strongholds. We will push. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It might look like an army is encamped around me, but I will push. Tell your neighbor, push. You have to push. David understood the importance of pushing. On the run. On the run. Yet there's a promise. There's oil on his head. He's pregnant with promise, but he's on the run. And then he writes Psalm 27 as a prayer. And what does he say? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the refuge and the fortress of my life. Whom shall I dread? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and they fell. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, even in this, when you see war around you, even in this, I am confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in the presence all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty, the delightful loveliness and majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate where? In his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter, in the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. In his tent, I will offer sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious and compassionate to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face in prayer, require my presence as your greatest need. My heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. On the authority of what? Your word. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. You have brought me this far. You have been the glory and the lifter of my head. Do not abandon me nor leave me, O God of my salvation. Although my father and my mother have abandoned me, those who said they would be there for me, those who had promised to always be there for me, when I needed them the most, they were not there. I couldn't find them in my darkest hour of need. Although they made promises them fail, although they've abandoned me, oh God, they have left me and abandoned me, yet the Lord will take me up. Adopt me as a child. Teach me your ways, oh Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies who lie in wait. Don't be fooled. There are people lying in wait to try to steal the promise. It says, teach me your ways and lead me, O God. Do not give up. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have come against me. They breathe out violence. I would have despaired had I not believed. I would have been worried if I had not believed. I would be worried if I forgot that you, O God, are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I would be worried if I forgot that you are the mighty man of battle and you have never lost a war. You have never lost a fight. I would have been worried if I had not believed that what? I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait! And confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait and confidently expect the Lord. You must understand you are in the process where it's time to push. Jabez understood what it meant to push. Well, Pastor, we don't have a lot written about Jabez. But guess what? In the two verses that they described him, told me everything we need to know about him because it was so important, this prayer. It gave me an indication of what his life was like. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, but his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I gave birth to him in pain. And after going through a life of pain, Jabez cried out to the Lord, God of Israel, saying, oh, that you will indeed bless me and enlarge my borders, my properties, and that your hand will be on me and you will keep me from evil, and so it does not hurt me. He pushed. Jacob understood what it was to push. The Bible says he wrestled with God all night. But Pastor, he was wrestling, but this was not just a will of strength, but it was a wrestle of words. How do I know? Look at 26. There was conversations that we're having. He was talking with God. Then he said, let me go. Genesis 32:26. Let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you declare a blessing on me. I am not going to go through this year the same way I went last year. Father, I am not going until I see the new beginning in my life. I draw a hedge of the bloodline and I cut myself from every power and every principality and anything that's about plague my generation. I decree and declare all things are passed away and all things have become new. I will not go until you bless me. I will not move until you change me. I will not stop until you heal me. I will not stop until I see the promise. Look at your neighbor, you have to push. The Bible says of Hannah in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, she was praying so much that Eli assumed that she was drunk because her mouth was moving and no words were coming out. And he assumed that she was drunk. But she had made up in her mind, God, give me a child lest I die. How bad do you want to see the promise? How bad are you willing to push? Now you're in the delivery process. Everything is screaming for you to stop. There are those waiting for you to stop. The devil is waiting for you to abort the promise. But now it's time to push. Jesus understood the importance of pushing. Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, although everything in me is crying, although I am bleeding blood, I know what is coming. I know the pain I'm going to go through. And everything while he was being beaten and broken, and his body was giving up and shutting down, bloodlust, extermination. He had been dehydrated, carrying the weight of the world, and he could give up his life at any time. But he's like, no, I have to push. The cross. And he took it all until he completed his mission, and he said, it is finished. Look to your neighbor and say, it's time to push. But after the pain, if you can push through the pain, if you can get through the pain, your promise awaits you on the other side. Ask any mother, no matter how treacherous the delivery process was, once that baby comes out, they forget all the pain. Whether it was 12 hours or 24 hours or 48, once they are holding the promise, everything goes away. If you will not quit, if you will push through the pain, I guarantee you, your promise awaits on the other side. Because of my time, Philippians 2, 8 to 11. Look at this. It says this. After he was found in terms of his outward appearance as a man for a divinely appointed time, he humbled himself still further by becoming obedient to the Father, to the point of death, and even death on a cross. For this reason, also because he obeyed and so completely humbled himself, what happened? God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father. But he had to go through the cross. The only way he gets a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of this name, every knee must bow, those in the heavens and under the heavens, is he had to push through the pain. He had to go through the cross. Look at your neighbor. Say, pain awaits. Promise awaits after the pain. The promise awaits after the pain. Now I have to come to a close. It's 11:04. Now, remember, we said there are three components to this. There is the promise, there is the one who will birth the promise, and then there is what? The midwife. Remember, we said it is extremely important who you have with you in your delivery process. Because even after you have pushed through the pain, if you have the wrong midwife, if you make the mistake of having the wrong midwife in the room, the midwife can abort the promise. This is not about emotions. Oh, I've known them all my life. I cannot let you abort the promise. If you would derail me and destroy everything, I will not make you or let you invalidate my pain. My pain must give birth to promise. Who are the midwives in the room of your delivery? Exodus 1, 15 to 21 shows the importance of midwives. Exodus 1, 15 to 21. Then the king of Egypt said to who? The Hebrew midwives. One of whom was named Sifra, beauty, and the other named Puah, splendor. When you act as midwives to the Hebrew woman and see them on the birth stool, when you serve as the gatekeeper to the promise, because you are there, you stand in between life and death. Once you find yourself on the birth stool, you see them. If it is a son, you shall what? Kill him. But if it's a daughter, she shall live. Your midwife has the ability to either kill your promise or help your promise live. What happened? But the midwives feared God with a profound reverence and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded, but they let the baby boys live. They chose to fear God. But what if they hearkened to what Pharaoh had asked them to do? Moses would have never been born. And if Moses would have never been born, the deliverer to set Israel would have never come. Who are you allowing at the point of delivery around you? Who are you telling? Who are the people? You must understand, the Bible speaks about in Matthew that while they were asleep, there were enemies that went to go sow tares. So at the point of when the harvest is supposed to come, the seeds that have been sown, they're to come up to destroy. Got to beware of negative midwives. Not everybody's for you. Not everyone you allow. Jesus had three. If Jesus could have three, why do we need 100? You don't need everybody to be in the delivery room. That's why a woman is very particular about who she allows in the delivery room. It's not for everybody. As a matter of fact, you don't even know the point it is happening until after the baby has come, because she's intentional about who she allows in the delivery process. Look at your neighbor, say, be careful of negative midwives. Numbers 13, 31 to 33, an example of negative midwives. I'm done in 5 minutes. An example of negative midwives. Numbers 13. 31 to 33. God had promised the children of Israel the promised land. It's here. They're here. Now is the time. Everything, 430 years of slavery. 430 years of slavery. After many years, over 40 years in the wilderness. And now, they are now at the brink to enter the promise. They push to delay. They push through pressure. They push through pain. And now they are at the cusp of delivery. The land that God had given them, flowing with milk and honey. And what happens? 31. But the man who had gone up with them said, what did they say? We are not able to go against the people of Canaan. You are at the point of promise. You are about to enter, and you let the wrong midwife begin to speak negative in your ear. But are you sure you can handle this project? Why are you thinking like this? You know, nobody in your family has ever done something like this. why do you feel like, you know, are you sure that it was God? Are you sure that you're not reaching too high? We cannot go against the people of Canaan. Why? For they are too strong for us. So they gave the Israelites a bad report about the land which they had spied out, saying, The land through which we went in, spying it out, is a what? A land that devours its inhabitants. God described it as a land flowing with milk and honey. The negative midwives described it as a land that devours its inhabitants. Whose report are you listening to at the point of your delivery? Will you let the negative midwife speak into your life at the crucial point? He says it is a land that devours their inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. So they looked and belittled themselves. And they saw their opponents as men of great stature. Then we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and a part of Nephilim. And we were like grasshoppers. In whose sight? In our own sight. And so we are. How do you know how you see? How do you? Come. Wait. I can see you. You can see me. I can only see you and tell you how I see you. But I cannot tell you how you see me. Isn't that how sight works? You cannot see yourself unless there is a mirror in front of you. But you can see the other person. How do they know how they look in their sights? He says we are grasshopper in their sights. And we are in our own eyes and in their own. Do not let somebody else tell you what they see about your promise. Because they were not with you at conception stage. They don't know all the work God has done with you in the growth stage. They don't know the pressure and the battles you've had to fight. They did not go through the pain, so they cannot define your promise for you. Tell your neighbor, beware of negative midwives. These are the kind of midwives you need, positive midwives. As I close, Luke 5:17-20. Luke 5:17-20. One day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and of Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present with him to heal. Some men came carrying on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed, and they tried to bring him in and lay him down in front of Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and removed some tiles to make an opening and lowered him through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw whose faith? The man on the stretcher? When he saw whose faith? Their faith. Springing from confidence in him, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." What you need are positive midwives who will carry you when you feel like you're at the point of giving up. What you need are positive midwives that will hold your hand up when your hands get tired and say, "With you, we are here. We travail together. We pray together. We push together." Because they understand that even if you don't have faith, they have faith for you to come to the promise. These were people who had this man on the stretcher. The man, they didn't talk about his faith. They got there and they saw an obstacle. And if they were negative midwives, what would they have done? Put him down, turned around. But he had people who said, "At whatever cost, whatever it takes, we are with you until we get what we came for." You need your Peter, your James, your John, who are saying with you, "We perish until we see the promise come. We are not moving." Even when you get tired of praying, don't worry. I'm praying for you. I'm standing in the gap. You have come too far.
Surround yourself with people who remind you of the process. The Lord who has started it, he did not bring you this far to leave you now. Am I the one who brings you to the point of delivery, says the Lord? I will not bring it to pass. Will I shut up the womb at the point of delivery? If God has said it, he will do it. Delay is not denial. It may seem like you've lost the battle, but you will not lose the war. The one that started it, he's faithful and just to complete it. He has said that all things are new. He has said that it is done. He has said that the words are accurate. He has said that his word is trustworthy. He has said the word is incorruptible. He has said the word is faithful. I don't care what the circumstances say. We are coming out on the other side. You need people who will put you on their back and are willing to climb any mountain, scale any building. If we have to bulldoze the tiles, we'll bulldoze the tiles. But we will keep you in front of the Lord, our knees on the ground, in the place of prayer. We will always find the presence. We will chase the presence. If we have to scale the crowd, we'll scale the crowd. If we have to break the door, we'll break the door. But we will go back with our promise. Find you positive midwives who understand the process, who have had to birth things. You know what qualifies to be a midwife? You have been in the position to birth many babies. Don't surround yourself with people who have not been through anything. We are not looking for fair weather people. You see, there are three types of people. You have your leaf people, you have your branch people, and you have your root people. Your leaf people, when the seasons come and go, they fade and change with the seasons. Your branch people, they look sturdy, but at some instance of pressure or affliction or altercation, and you put pressure on them, what happens? They snap. What you are looking for are root people. They don't make noise. You don't see them, but they keep you rooted and grounded in God's love. You see them saying the weapons of our warfare, we don't fight with our mouth, we fight on our knees. You know people that will say, in regards of what he says, let the wind come, let the rain shake, and roots are deep into the ground. You don't see them every time, but they're always standing for you. They're not affected by weather, they're not affected by season. Whether you are based or are bound, they are always there praying for you. Those are the people who you need in your season, who have passed through their own birthing process, who knows that delay is not denial, that can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Those are the people you need in the delivery room. The promise, the pain, the midwife, all these come together. But because God is not a man that you should lie, if he has said it, will he not do it? If he has spoken it, will it not come to pass? There is a time and season for everything under heaven. There's an appointed time for your baby to come, but we will push. We will push. We will push. We will pray until something happens. We will storm the gates of heaven. We will stand in faith. We will stand in love, being rooted and grounded. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. He is a sovereign God. It may not make sense, but it makes God. Huh? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are not moved by what we see. God is true, and every man be a liar. We push. Because on the other side of pain is the promise. Wherever you may be in your process, whether you're in conception, or you are in growth, or you are in delivery. I know a God who said, write it down. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Who says when God has not said? Who speaks when God has not spoken? Who shuts when God has opened? If he has begun it, he will surely bring it to pass. Surely he will bring it to pass.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that you were blessed. And if you enjoyed what you heard, please be sure to subscribe. And if you know a fellow lion that needs to join the tribe, please be sure. Send them this link. Share this episode. God bless you.